All right, we begin here on the top of Chavav, Amud Aleph, three lines down. Just to review, because the Gemara is about to say, Leimat Kitanae, to say that this is a Machloket Tanaim, that's based on the statement of Rabbi Asi Amareish Lokish, that Machloket Beshitiro Mumche, that there's a Machloket only after a Mumche had opined on the Mum, and then all of this applies. Now, what we're referring to is back in the Mishnah. Yesterday we had a Braita that also opens up another possibility, which is the last Braita that we looked at was a Tolish Semer mi Bechor Tam, someone who pulls off hair from a Bechor Tam. Over here the Braita uses HaTolish, but the truth is that it wouldn't matter if it was Tolish or Nitlash. The Gemara would say it doesn't matter whether it fell off or it was taken off. If it comes from a Bechor Tam, even though there's a Mum in it, B'shachato, and then he shechs it, asur. You can't get any benefit from that hair. Remember that the rules are with regards to a bechor, lo tavo bechor shorecha, lo tokoz bechor tzonecha. You're not allowed to do any gizat. You're not allowed to shear the bechor. So now over here, the question is, when you take the hair off, or you cut the hair while it's still alive, which would be under that restriction of gizat, and then afterwards, either the animal dies, the animal is shechted, the animal is brought as a korban, what do you do with that hair that fell off during that period of time, or the gizah during that period of time? So the Gemara seems to indicate, and here it says, taima mishom tam. Sounds like the reason that you can't get any benefit from this hair here is because it was a bechor tam. Ha, ba'mum, shari. Had it been a ba'mum, it would have been fine. Ha, b'pish lo teiru mubche. Even though Mo Mumche opined on this. And Rashi says that the reason by Tom you would say it's a sur is because Afilu Akavya Mode, even Akavya ben Halel, who is Matir in our Mishnah, over here would say it's a sur, Da'ata de Shu'uye, because you're going to end up then delaying, tarrying with the bringing of the Bechor Tam, because you'll wait around and it'll drop hair and drop more hair, meaning wool, and you'll be able to collect it. La'afkuye mikdushat mizbeach, and then you're at risk that it will get a mum, and then it won't end up on the mizbeach. So it's actually detrimental. That'd be true bizman abayit. Vod sharei adayin ain't bo shum heter. Second thing is that this thing is asur de gamre. There's no tzad heter to it. It's a tam. It's going on the mizbeach. Avgav denaka tolesh shua din litlash. That's what we just said. Doesn't matter tolesh nitlash. Rashi says it. The Baal Tosfot say it. Could afarish be safe with the shmait. That's what we're going to see later on in the Gemara. So over here we just had a braita that says when it comes to bechor tam, and Rashi notes that even Akavya ben Mahalel will agree here that any hair that falls off of that for sure is a sur. Because over there we're really worried about you leaving the animal around to collect these hairs or to store this hair or this wool because that's to your benefit, but it's to the detriment of Kodoshim. Because now you're going to tarry with the Tam and the Tam may get a mum in it and then you won't be able to bring it on his back. Or the fact that a Bechor Tam has no heter to it whatsoever. Once it gets a mum in it, all of that has changed. Right now we're discussing, and this is the statement of Rabbi Asi Amareish Lakish, what does it mean that it got a mum in it? Does it simply mean it got a mum, and that's it? Or does it have to have a mum that was opined upon by a chacham that said that this is a mum? What threshold do you need to cross in order for it to be in this world of the argument of our Mishnah? That's the statement that we're going to say, Lema Ketanae. They were going to say, let us say that's a machloket tanaim, as to whether you need the chacham's opinion, or whether it's simply enough that it has a mum in it. Once it gets a mum in it, and it's still alive, the question is that the wool, or the hair that comes away from it, what is the din of that hair or that wool? So the Baalei HaTosafot on the Mishnah made it clear that they believe that all of this is midrabanan. Meaning midoraita, there is no problem, and that's based on the Baalei HaTosafot's reading of the Gemara's earlier on Vav Amud Bet and Tet Vav Amud Aleph, where they say that when the Gemara says Tizbach velo gizah, you have a right to shech the animal, not to shear it. That is exactly what it means. You have a right to shech, not to shear. Tizbach velo tagoz. What it does not mean is Tizbach velo gizah, which is the girsa in our Gemara's, which means that the gizah itself is asur. It's not that. Tizbach is an active verb. So the restriction against, or the contrast with that is you're allowed with a bechor to tizbach, to shecht it. When it gets a mum in it, or psulei mukdashim, they get a mum in it, you're allowed to be tizbach, you're allowed to shecht them. Giza, you're not allowed to do with them. You're not allowed to do giza, you're not allowed to shear them. That's the restriction. If you do shear them and you have the shearings afterwards, that is not asur midoraita. It's only asur midrabanan. That isur midrabanan, while the animal is still alive, everybody agrees to. A kavya ben mehalel, the chachamim, everybody agrees there's a restriction while the animal is still alive. After the animal is shechted, and now it becomes mutar, the question is, do you continue to believe that there is a gzeirah? The chachamim say that there is a gzeirah. The gzeirah is ato l'shehuyeh. You're going to keep it around. Once again, we are incentivizing you to keep the animal around because all the shearings that fall off of it during that period of time, if after shechita are going to be mutar, you'll just keep it around because you'll be able to collect all of that, and then you'll be able to use it after you shecht the animal. So you're disincentivized from shechting the animal. So for that reason, the chachamim say, even afterwards, we're going to make it asur. Kavya Mimin Halel says, we don't worry about that. Afterwards, it is mutar. So that is the machloket that we saw in the Mishnah between a Kavya Mimin Halel and the chachamim. That's the way the Baal Tosafot read the Mishnah. We noted yesterday that the Rabbeinu Gershom disagrees, and there are others, like the Rambam, also that seem to indicate that the issue in the Mishnah is an issue deoraita, which means while the animal is alive, if it has a mum in it, and shearings fall off of it, those shearings are asurim midoraita. That's tizbach below gizah. Shechita, not gizah. Gizah doesn't just mean to shear it, it means the shearings themselves are asurim. Then, after shechita, where midoraita, it becomes mutar, at that point in time, you have the machloka between the chachamim and the kavya b'mehalel. Kavya b'mehalel says, it's mutar. Once the shechita happens, just like the shechita is matir the behemah, it's matir the shearings as well. Whereas the chachamim say, we don't want you to be, midoraita, it is mutar, but we don't want you to do that because of the fact that you'll keep the animal around. And that's the gzirat chachamim. That's the Mishnah, the machloka, kavya b'mehalel in the Mishnah. Over here, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, by mita, it's harder to understand why Rav Kavya ben Mehalel would be matirit. If it's a sumi doraita until that point, what does mita do? What does death do? Death, for b'chor, makes it a surbana. And everybody agrees, anything on the animal or comes off the animal after death is a surbana. So according to Kavya ben Mehalel, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, it was also sumi doraita when it was alive, it's also sumi doraita when it dies, then how did it ever become to a makom heter? So it's harder to understand the shita according to them. So that's what we're discussing over here. Now we have a braita. It's the same braita we just quoted before, but it's the full text of the braita. And that's what the Gemara is suggesting over here. Lema kitanae. Let us say this is a machloket tanaim. Atalish semer bibichor tam. This is the braita that we just quoted before. Here's the beginning of that braita. Someone who pulls off semer from bibichor tam. Again, doesn't matter if it's tolesh or nitlash, just happens to be tolesh here in the braita. Afopish nolad bo mum. Even though it already has a mum, vishachato, and then he shechs it, asur. That is problematic. If someone pulls off the tzemer from a bechor tam, even though later on it gets a mum, and you shecht it based on that mum, that tzemer is asur. We saw in Rashi the reasons for that. Either because you're going to postpone bringing the bechor on the Mizbeach, and that will then actually be mafkiyah from the Mizbeach, because it'll get a mum. So that would be even according to a kavya ben mehalalel. And then also he mentioned the fact that there's no heter here. There's no reason to believe that anything falls off the animal. It's a tam. It's like a regular korban. But now, b'chor ba mum, so this is the case of our Mishnah, and this is what we're discussing now. You have a b'chor that has a ba mum in it. Shetalash mimenu. Again, that you plucked some of the shearings off of it. V'achakach meit, and then it dies. Kavya ben Mehalal el matir. Kavya says, that's fine. After the death of the animal, it's fine. V'chamim osrim. And the chamim say that it is problematic. So now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo bezeh hitir akavya ben Mehalal el. That's not where akavya ben Mehalal el was matir. Ela, b'se'ar b'chor ba'mum shinashar, the hair or wool of a b'chor ba'mum that fell off, v'nicho b'chalom, and then he placed it into the window, v'achakach shachato, and then he shechted it. B'zeh akavya b'mehalal el matir, that's where akavya says it's mutar, v'chamim osrim, and the chamim say it's asur. So first of all, this is Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah brings the machloket exactly in this manner, which is that shechita is the key element where kavya and the chachamim disagree. There are two differences between the Tanakhama and a Yehuda. The first of which is the Tanakhama says talash, that he intentionally pulled it off, whereas the case of Rabbi Yehuda is nitlash, it fell off. The second difference between them is that the Tanakhama says mate, that the animal died, and then there is a machloket kavya in the Chachamim, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that it was shechted. So those are the two differences between them. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda matches exactly what we see Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, and the Tanakhama seemingly disagrees and says mate, which would have matched up with Rabbi Yossi's Shita in the Mishnah. The only problem is the Braita also has Rabbi Yossi. So that's what he says here. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Moda Abba Chalafta. Chalafta is Rabbi Yossi's father. It's Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. And over here he's saying, my father, Chalafta, in terms of respect. Bezeh Shehu Mutar. In that case, it's clearly Mutar. Meaning in the case of Shechita, even the Chachamim agree that it's Mutar. Aval. As Rashi notes over here, Aval is being used like it's used in some places in the Torah. Aval means be'emet. It's used by Abram when he's speaking to Sarah. It says Aval. Over there it means be'emet. By the brothers to Yosef, Aval Hashemim Anachnu. But it doesn't mean but there, but means really, in reality, truthfully. And then Biyuchud, as Rashi explains over here, means Biberur. It's clear. So, be'emet, Biberur, Amru Chachamim, Yenichenu Bechalon, you leave it in the window, Shema Yesh Tikva. Maybe there will be hope. Shachato, then if it's shechted, divrei hakol mutar. Everybody agrees that it's mutar. That's similar to what the Tanakhama said. Meit, akavya ben mehalal el matir, v'chamim usrim. But if it dies, that's where you have the machloki between akavya and the chachamim. And the Gemara says the obvious thing, which is Rabbi Yossi, hainu Tanakhama. There's no difference between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama. The only difference between them would be if Rabbi Yossi is building on the Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda's case is a case of Nitlash, and the Tanakhama's case is a case of Tolesh, where he pulled it off. But both Rashi and Balei Tosafot already pointed out to us, based on the Gemara later on, that Tolesh and Nitlash makes no difference, irrespective of those differences. So then, that's not a distinction of substance, and therefore now you have three opinions in the Braita, two of which are the same. You have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which matches our Mishnah, which is the only case where there is a machloket akavya and the chachamim is in a case where it fell off. Then you put it in the chalon, waited till it was shechted, and then after it was shechted, then there's a machloket. According to the kavya, it's fine. According to the chachamim, it's not fine. And of course, we're speaking about a b'chor balmum, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi say that it's true by b'chor balmum. What you said by shechita is not true. By shechita, even the chachamim agree it's mutar. Their machloket is about if it dies. There, Akavya says it's mutar after the death, whereas the Chachamim say that it is asur after the death. But everybody agrees that in a case of shechita, that the wool that fell off beforehand would be mutar afterwards. Just like the shechita is matir the wool of the animal now, so too it's matir the wool that fell off prior to that time. So then the Gemara wants to know, what is the distinction between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama? Elalav. Must be hitiru mumche ika benayu. The difference between them is whether a mumche opined on the mum. Tanakhama savar hitiru mumche in ilolo. The Tanakhama says if the mumche looked at it, then it's considered or classified as a bechor ba mum. If not, it's not a bechor ba mum. Father Rabbi Yossi the meimar apagav delo hitiru mumche. And Rabbi Yossi coming to say if it has a mum in it, even if it wasn't opined upon by a chacham, that's enough to be classified as a b'chor ba'mum, and all these dinim would apply. So then, that would mean that the statement of Rabbi Yassi and Rish Lakish, machloke b'shitiru mumche, the only machloke between a kavya and the chachamim is where a mumche was matir the mum, that's actually a machloke tanaim. The Tanakhama agrees with that. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that. How do you know that the Tanakhama has that opinion, and Rabbi Yossi has the alternate opinion? So Rashi claims the reason is because of the Gemara that we reviewed at the beginning of the daf today, which is the Braita. We brought the front of this Braita before to question Rabbi Yassi Amar Reish Lakish. And we said, Bechor Tam, and the Gemara is Midayek out of that. Bechor Tam, yes. Bechor Baal Mum, no. And that would seem to imply that a Bechor Baal Mum is true even without the opinion of a Chacham. Gemara rejected that and said, Tano Kohechet Lo Hitiru Mumche Tom Karile. That he calls it a tam any time that Chacham has yet to opine upon the mum. So therefore, what Rashi says is, the Gemara is just continuing with that. Just like the way we answered the Braita before for Reish Lakish, in order to reconcile the Braita with Reish Lakish, we're continuing with that. And therefore, when the Braita begins, Hatolei Shtemrei B'Bechor Tam, Apol Pish Nolot B'Mum, B'Shachato Asur, the deal he would have made is, Tam, yes, Mum, no. So that means that Mum would have been just fine. But then Gemara says, no, don't read it that way, because Mum, or the deal that you're making, is wrong. Anything that has yet to have the opinion of the Chacham is called the Tam. And that's how we know, and that's what Rashi says, that the Tanakamo believes you need a opinion of the Chacham in order to be classified as a Bechor Mamum. Rabbi Yossi, how do we know that he differs from that? Because Rabbi Yossi says, what you should do is, Yanichenu b'chalon, put it in the window, Shema yesh tikva. Because maybe there will be hope. What are you hoping for? According to Rabbi Yossi, whether it dies, or whether it's shechted, according to the Kavya, it's mutar. The Chachamim, if it's shechted, then it is mutar. If it is mate, then it's asur. So what are you hoping for? So Rashi says, yesh tikva, demashma, yesh tikva, v'yitirenu mumche, v'yishchatenu. Hope is that it will have the mum, will be then opined upon by the Chacham to say that it is a real mum. If that's the case, then you can shecht it. And if you shecht it, then it's mutar according to everyone. So the yesh tikva is that we hope the Chacham says that it is a good mum. So that's how Rashi reads, how the Gemara knows that the Tanakama says you need the opinion beforehand, whereas Rabbi Yossi says you get the opinion after the fact. Because the Tanakama we're reading based on our reading yesterday, or Diuk in the Braita yesterday, that anything that does not have the opinion of a mumche is called the Tam. And we're reading Rabbi Yossi about yesh tikva. The tikva, or the hope, is that the Chacham is going to opine favorably on the animal. The Balei HaTosafot don't like that explanation. He says, V'kasha l'perusho. The reason that the Gemara gave that answer before was in order that the Braita not be a stira to Reish Lakish. But now that we have the whole Braita, and we have that it's a machloket tanaim anyway, then wouldn't it be more logical to flip it around and make it that the Tanakama is the one who says that you don't need the Chacham from the Diuk? He says Bechor Tam is problematic, implying that any Bechor Mum would be fine, even if it didn't have the Chacham's opinion. So then he would be the more logical candidate for the one to say that you don't need the opinion of a Chacham. And Rabbi Yossi would be the opposing opinion. Obviously that's not the case, because Gemara spells it out the other way around. But he said it can't be for the reasons that Rashi said. And therefore he says over here, that it must be that the yesh tikva is the key point, or the key element here. That's how the Gemara knows that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that it's about the opining of the Chacham. And that is because you could say yesh tikva means that you'll shecht it. Tosfot says yesh tikva, hope, is about something that is out of your control. Shechita is not out of your control. The animal could die, or the animal could be shechted. You can control that. You can shecht the animal and prevent it from dying. You'll cause it to die, rather than it dying by itself. So that's not something where you hope. You can control that. Tikva is when you're hoping for something that's outside of your control, and therefore that must be speaking about the Chacham's opinion, which you have no control over. That's the yesh tikva. It says that's what's driving the Gemara over here. Rashi says that the Gemara is driven by the answer it gave before, and then he uses the yesh tikva to reinforce that. Tosafot says the other way around. The yesh tikva makes this clear to us that Rabbi Yossi believes it's before the Chacham opined upon it. And then, by definition, then the Tanakama has the opposing opinion. And then you're going to have to answer like we answered before. And then he says, Mikom Mokom, B'maskana Kamar, Shemi Yesh Tikva, Kamar Yesh Shchita. Says, even though the Gemara is Medayek that now, in the end, the Gemara does say that everybody agrees that you need the opinion of the Chacham. That means the Yesh Tikva of Rabbi Yossi in the end is actually the Tikva that you're going to shecht it. So Tosfot says it's a little more precarious, this diuk of the Gemara, but it's only a temporary stage in the Gemara, and now the Gemara is going to move on and say, Amarobo, lo, that's not the case. Tukuliyama, itiru mumche in, ilo itiru lo. Everybody agrees with Ravasi Amar Reish Lakish, which is that you need the Chacham's opinion before all this becomes true. But then, how are you going to explain our Braita here? Because now Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama are saying the same thing. V'shalosh machlokot badavar. It's a three-way machloket. Now, the two parts of the machloket are very easy. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are the opinions that we found in our Mishnah. Those are their opinions here in the Braita. Rabbi Yehuda believes that if the animal dies, everybody thinks it's asur. If the animal is shechted, that's the machlok between a kavya and the chachamim. Rabbi Yossi believes that by shechita, everyone agrees it's mutar. I mean, if it fell off beforehand, and then you kept it, and then it was shechted, everybody, chachamim and a kavya, believe that it's mutar. Their machloket is in the case of mate, when it dies. The kavya says it's mutar, and the chachamim say it is asur. But there is now a third opinion, and that's what the Gemara says here. The Tana Kama Savar, Blige be mate, Buadin the Shachato. When the Tana Kama said, Chorba Amum, Shitalash Men Rachakach mate, then it says what a Kavya and the Chachamim say. Now, he doesn't say mate, yes, Shchita, no. He just says there's a Machloka by mate. That might mean is that he thinks there's a Machloka by Shchita, and there's a Machloka by mate. Rabbi Yotzi comes along and says his father said, that with regards to Shechita, there is no machloket. He spells it out clearly that he thinks by Shechita, there is no machloket. By mate, there is a machloket. And therefore, what we're going to now be midayek is the Tana Kama didn't say that. And therefore, with the Tana Kama, they argue by mate, what in the Shechato? Bahad, the Kamifle gave a mate. Then why did he only mention mate if they argue by both of them? So, the Acha Kocho, the Akavya. To teach you the position of Akavya, which is even in the face of Mita, where everything's going to be Asur, he still is matir, the shearings that fell off beforehand. So that's a big chiddush. And therefore they mentioned that in the Beraita. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, b'mate, divrei hakol asur. By mate, everybody agrees that it's asur. Ki pligei, they argue, b'shachato. That's when there was a shechita, the shearings that fell off beforehand. Kavya says they're mutar, kamim say are asur. Ba'ad Rabbi Yossi the Meimar, b'shachato, divrei hakol mutar. Rabbi Yossi says, by shechita, everybody thinks it's mutar, even the chachamim. Kiplige b'mate. And the machloket only exists by the case of mate. So here you have a three-way machloket with regards to this, as to when shearings that fall off, when it's already a b'chor ba'al mum, and according to Rabbi Yossi Amar Reish Lakish, which now Rova says the Braita agrees to, everybody agrees that this is after the Chacham have opined on it, and it said that it's a real mum. Shearings that fall off at that point in time, then the status of those items is a three-way machloket, depending on whether the animal died or was shechted, as to what the status of those shearings are post the death or post the shechita. Now Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, hov it's not b'bechirta kavatei. Because we have a Mishnah that is supportive of his position in a masechet ediyot. B'bechirta means in the choice masechta, or it means in the masechta with the testimony. Ediot is the testimony that came about on the day that Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah was appointed to fill the position of Rabban Gamliel, had been deposed. And on that day, they took away the guards from the Beit Midrash. They let everybody in. And since everybody was there, they were able to go through a series of memorot. Everybody there said over what they knew, and they were able to clarify. All that material is codified in Masechet Ediot. And therefore, Masechet Ediot carries extra weight because all the Chachamim were there on that day, and they came to a consensus about the information that's placed in Masechet Ediot. So since Rabbi Yehuda has support in Masechet Ediot, makes sense to say the law is like Rabbi Yehuda against what would have been the Klalei Apsak over here. You have a machloket over here between a Tana Kama, who we don't know who's the attribution to, and then you have Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. We have a machloket Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara in Erevin says, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. So here, Rabbi Nachman is saying, even though normally we would say halacha Rabbi Yossi, but here the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because he has support from the Mishnah in Ediot. Because the Mishnah in Ediot says that tnan, seyar, b'chor, ba'al mum, shenashar, if you have hair, wool, of a b'chor ba'al mum that fell off after it had a mum in it, and now we're saying even after the Chacham said that it was a mum, b'nicho b'chalon, and then you kept it around. While the animal's alive, it's clearly asur, according to the Tosafot, midi Rabbanan, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, Mido Uraita. And then, Bacha Kach Shachato. And afterwards, you shechted it. Kavya ben Mehalel Matir. Kavya ben Mehalel says the Shechita, just like it's Matir, the animal now, and all the shearings and anything that's on it after it's shechted are Mutar, so too, retroactively, it also is Matir, the wool that you kept around that fell off after it was a Balmum that the Chacham opined upon. Bacha Chamim, Osrim. And the Chamim say it's problematic. So here you see a Mishnah that explicitly says that a machloket only is by Shechita, which implies by Mita, everybody would agree that it is a sur. That's exactly like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Matnita Nami Deka. Our Mishnah is also Mduyak, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is the right opinion. That is because in our Mishnah, we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, then we have the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and then we have a third section of the Mishnah, which is given without attribution. It's not clear who said it. It's not. Semer HaMiduldal. When you have wool that is hanging off, I mean, it's already detached from the animal itself, but it's still caught in the shearings that are still attached to the animal. That which is visible along with the remaining giza that's on the animal, mutar. And that which is not visible or not on the same plane as that which is on the animal, that will be asur. We'll get back and later on in the Gemara to explain what does it mean it's seen with or not seen with. The Gemara will give definition to that at the end of the perek. Mani. Who's the author of this latter position in the Mishnah? Ilema Rabbi Yossi. If you think it is Rabbi Yossi, ubemai. What is the scenario? Ilema b'shachato. If you say that it was a case where they shefted it, it would happen when it was a b'chor balmum that it detached, and then they shefted afterwards, ben akavya, ben rabbonon, idavidi mishrei shari. According to Rabbi Yossi, when you sheft it, everybody agrees that which is afterwards is mutar. So then why would there be any question? It's shenira, shalonira, doesn't matter. Even if you took it off entirely, it would be mutar. Ela b'meit, must be a case of meit. V'i rabbonon, idi v'idi meisar. According to the rabbonon, meisar asri. According to the rabbonon, it doesn't matter whether it detached before or it didn't detach before. All of it's going to be asur. That's because, according to the chachamim, meit doesn't release the stuff that fell off beforehand. And if it's still classified as attached, then if it's part of the animal that died is a surbana. So either way, you're not going to get out of the problem. It's going to be a sur. Be a kavyo, ipcha mi bayile. And if it's a kavyo, it should be just the opposite. Nira ima giza sur. That which is on the plane with the giza should be a sur. Because then when the animal died, even a kavyo agrees everything on the animal when it dies is a surbana. The mita kasrele. Because mita causes everything to be a surbana. The stuff that already looks like it was separated out, that stuff should be mutar. Demi karatolish, because it separated away earlier. And according to Rabbi Yossi, a kavya believes that if it separated away while it was a balmum, and then it died, then the stuff after it died is mutar, meaning that the stuff that came off beforehand is now mutar. So he can't be the author of that position. Elapshita, Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that the latter part of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding. Ubimai, what's the scenario? Ilema b'meit, if it's a case where the animal died, ben la kavya, ben la rabbonon. Whether it's a kavya or the rabbonon, idi v'idi misri asre. They say it's a sur. Whether it's post-death, where it's a sur because it's a sur b'ana, or whether it fell off beforehand and then it died, everybody agrees that it's a sur. So then that can't be who's speaking about. El alav, b'shachato, it's a case where he shefted the b'chor, via kavya. If it's a kavya, idividi mishra shori. Doesn't matter. According to a kavya, then the stuff that fell off beforehand is mutar, and the stuff on the animal, everybody agrees, is mutar. So why should it make a difference? If it looks like it's part of the animal, doesn't look like part of the animal, doesn't matter. According to a kavya, everything is mutar. Elalav rabbonon hi. It's the rabbonon who say there's a difference. The stuff that fell off before the shechita is asur. The stuff that's on the animal at the time of the shechita is mutar. And that's exactly what the Mishnah says. That stuff that still is visible with the giza means it looks like it's still part of the animal. Then when the animal shefted, that is mutar. The stuff that looks like it already separated away or moved away from the animal, that stuff is going to be asur, because according to the chachamim, if it fell off beforehand and then you shefted it, it's asur. And that shows you, or that demonstrates to you, that only b'shchita is where they argue. The only one who could be the opinion that makes sense with that latter part of the Mishnah is the Rabbonon, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because otherwise, we saw according to Rabbi Yossi, we couldn't fit any opinion into that latter half of the Mishnah. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can fit in only one opinion. That's the Rabbonon in the case of shchita. But that shows you that that's where their machloket is. And therefore, that again, our Mishnah is supportive of the fact that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because the end of the Mishnah does a stam statement, which can only be true according to the Rabbanon, of Rabbi Yehuda. Shvamina, b'shachato pliga shvamina, and therefore not only do we have a Mishnah in Ediot that's supportive of Rabbi Yehuda, we also have a Mishnah here, the tail end of our Mishnah, which is also supportive. Boy Rabbi Yanai, hatolish tzemer meola tmima. Someone who pulls off the shearings of the hair from an olah tmima. It's an olah that's going on the mizbeach. Mahu, what is the din over here? So now, the question according to Rashi is, hatolish tzemer meola tmima mechayim. While the animal is still alive, and according to Rashi, the question is, l'rabbonon, mahu. According to the Rabbonon, is there an issue over here? According to Kavya ben Mehalalel, when stuff falls off beforehand, and then you wait until it's checked that it's mutar, the Chachamim differentiated between before Shkita and after Shkita. They said after Shkita it's mutar, but before Shkita it's asur because ate l'shuhunye. You're going to leave it around. You're going to keep it around in order for the hair to fall off or the wool to fall off, and that's going to be something we don't want you to do because if you keep it around, there's risk. Keeping it around, according to Rashi, the risk is that you're going to actually violate Giza Vavoda. You're actually going to, in the end, use it for Avoda or use it for its Giza because you're going to forget that it's Kadosh. Or just because it's around for so long, you just end up using it. So there's room for Takala. Or the Rambam says that maybe you'll be over the Gzerah that you have to eat it, as we'll see later on in today's daf, within the year. And if you allow him to keep it around, he's going to violate that Tosh Nato. So keeping it around is going to be an issue. As Rashi notes, the reason that they asked it this way is because then it's like a bamum, and the same fear that you have of being shoheh, keeping it around, applies. Like the chachamim, who are gozer by the bamum, are they also gozer by the ola tmima? That's what Rashi says the question is. Although some explain that the whole question is according to Akavya, who, according to the Baal Tosfot earlier, was gozer by bechor, tam, because we're afraid that you're going to keep it around. The question is, does Akavya have a similar gzeirah over here with regards to nolat mima? The Baalei Tosafot are somewhat bothered by Rashi, but Rashi that we don't have. The Rashi is found in the Shita Mekubetzet in Otet. He brings a version of Rashi, which says, Mechayim, it was still alive, vehumama, and then it got a mum in it, v'niftet, and then it was redeemed. So that is the version of Rashi that Tosfot is commenting on, and he has a problem with that. It says, Yesh Perush Mirashi, Shukatuv Behem, there are Perushim of Rashi that has written in them, Vishihu Mama, Vachakach Nivdeit. We're dealing with a Ola, that got a mum in it, and then it was redeemed, Vishakata, and then he shechted it. Mashma, Shemida Kein, Kedei Shidei Kein Bechor. He set it up so it would be identical or similar to the case that we have by the Bechor. Bechor has a mum in it, and then the mum precipitates the ability to do shkita. So also over here, you have the same thing. You have a mum come into it, and then the mum allows you, after redemption, to shech the animal. And the only difference, as Ratzel points out, is that over here he took it off when it was still a tam. By the Bechor, you took it off, or pulled it off when it was a bamum. Over here, you pulled it off when it was a tam. Betema, Tosfot says, I can't understand this. Because according to the way Rashi is explaining it, the reason that you would be matir over here is because of niftet. It was redeemed. And the question is, does the redemption there release the wool at that point, even though it was already detached from the behema? That would be the nature of the question. But Tosfot says, first of all, that high semer by hamadav arocha. First of all, that semer can't just be podet. You have to have hamadav arocha. He says, and even if you believe, like those that say, according to the Rabbanan, that kodshim is beach, don't require hamadav arocha, but then I still have another issue with it is, so Zomihu Kasha, he says, an additional question, even if you could get through the problems of hamadav arocha, is the fact that, kevan debaya tzemer pijon, since the wool needs redemption, heiki shaykh the migzar dilma mishayile, how can you put in a gzera to say that you may tarry with the animal? What does that help you? In the case of the Bechor, if you keep it around, you take all the shearings that fall off, you put them in the window. Over time, you're going to collect more and more. Eventually, you shecht it, and that's matir, all the stuff retroactively. That's a huge benefit to you. But in the case where, if you keep it around, you still have to redeem it, then in the end, you're going to pay for it. So what does it matter that you kept the animal for the shearings? You're going to have to redeem those shearings. If you have to redeem those shearings, what's the benefit of keeping it around? You can go buy the shearings. You don't need to keep it around and redeem them. There's no difference between them. The Mahayam Arviach, there's no benefit to you. So Tosfot says, I favor saying that the situation here is, Da'ari ba'ula, v'nishchata l'mizbeach. It's a regular ola tmima that was shechted to go on the mizbeach. Shezrikat adam materet basara l'mizbeach by or l'kohanim. And after zrikat adam, the basar goes to the mizbeach, and the or, the skin of the ola, goes to the kohanim. And that includes everything on the skin, including the shearings. Omibayilei mitzemer shenitlash. Tzemer that fell off before that point in time, imishtari nami bahochi. Does that also matter it? Aval plukta demarayi beperka mizbeach mikadesh. The only problem with that is that it's a machloket in zvachim about certain items that detached or went away from the animal before the zrikat adam, whether it's matir it. So Tosfot wants to suggest that the question here is about the kohanim, and the kohanim's right to the or. In a case where the animal does end up on the mizbeach, and in a case where it was shechted properly, zrikat adam's done properly, and the or goes to the kohanim, does that retroactively also take care of other things that fell off of the or beforehand? So he favors saying that over Rashi's interpretation. Now Rashi that we have doesn't have the lashon that Tosfot brings. Rashi just says, here, it fell off mikhaim. And it doesn't give you any other information, but the Rashi is explicit in the Shita Mikbetzin, and the way Tosfot quotes him is that it got a moment later and he redeemed it, and the question is, does that redemption cover it? And the Tosfot is bothered by that because then there's no benefit. All right, so now the Gemara's question goes as following. Amar Rabbi, by Rabbi Anai, Tolesh Temri Me'olat Me'ma'u, Tolesh Mi'ika Mandashori. Wait a minute. If you pulled it off, is there anybody who's going to say that's okay? Because, as Rashi points out, Aliba the Rabbanon Avadei Rosho. He's a Rosho. He's pulling off an Olat Mima, which is a problem with Mi'ila. And why would anybody think that you have a right to get that or that it'd be Mutar after the fact? Eletzemer Shiniplash Olat Mima Mahu. If it fell off by itself, what is the din? Chatat V'asham Loti Bailach. By Chatat and Hashem, we have no question. They gave into the Chapara Atu. Since they're coming to provide Chapara, Lo Mishauluhu. People don't tarry to bring them. Nobody's going to keep around a Chatat and Hashem because they want the Chapara. Since they are self-incentivized to bring it, we don't have to worry about them keeping it around in order to collect the shearings that fall off. The Bechor Maser Nami, by Bechor Maser, gave into Lav Lechapara Atu Mishauluhu. It's clear by a Kor Maser, where there is no Kapara Soin associated with them, people have no compunctions about keeping them around, because they can collect all the wool, and that's why the Rabbana put a Gzera in place of Shema Mishaluhu. Ki Dibailach de Ola. The question is by an Ola. My. Kevan de Iker Lav le Kapara to Mishaluhu. Since the major component of an Ola is a voluntary offering, is something that you're bringing as a present, then you're not incentivized to bring it. Odilma gave into Olah Nami Mechapra Asay. Olah does have an aspect of Kapara that's associated with it. And that's because in the Torah it says, by the Korban Olah, in the beginning by Yikra, but Nitzar Lola Kapar Olah. So there's obviously some aspect of Kapara that is associated with it, which the Gemara told us refers to things that are not covered by other Korbanot or other punishments. And that is like an Asay or a Lavani Takle Asay, Lo Mishayla, that people aren't going to keep it around. Which aspect of the Olah do we put emphasis on? Do we put emphasis on the Matanah aspect of it? And therefore it looks like Bechor Maser, and the Chachamim would be Gozer Mishum Shu'iyeh, because people might leave it around. Or do we say that we focus on the aspect of Kapara brought by the Olah, and people will be self-incentivized to bring the animal, and therefore we don't have to be Gozer Shema Mishaylu. The Nafkamina will be whether after the fact, it's mutar. According to Rashi, when it gets a mum and it's shechted, is it mutar? Seemingly through pidyon. According to the Balei Tosafot, when it gets on the mizbeach and the zikat adam is done, does that matter it retroactively? Is there a need for gzera? Not a need for gzera ba'ulah. It's interesting only because the Gemara in Arachin, when it speaks about taking a mashkom, taking collateral from people to force them to fulfill their obligations with regards to korbanot, there the Gemara says a similar thing. It says by Asham and Chatat, there's no necessity for that because people are self-incentivized. By other korbanot, we have to mashkin them. One of those korbanot is an olah. And over there, the Gemara says you need to take a mashkon. You need to compel the individual in order to bring the olah. Some want to differentiate between a situation in which the person made a neder to bring the olah. That by cases where the person made a neder to bring the olah, but is yet to segregate or take out a korban to represent or to take care or discharge that obligation, That's why we're mashkinim oto. But over here, we're already talking about where the olah exists. Over there, the question is whether we have to worry about Shema Yisheheh or not. And that's why this question is different than that question that's brought up in the Gemara in Arachin. So the Gemara says, Tashma. So let's learn it from here. Hatulesh Tzemer B'Bechor Tam. Abo Bishon Lod Bamum Shakado Asur. So the beginning of the Braita that we had before, someone who pulls Tzemer off of a Bechor Tam, even though it gets a mum afterwards, and you shift it, it's Asur. Time of the Tolesh. The problem is that you were a Tolesh. That's why we don't allow you to get benefit from here. Ha Nitlash Shori. Had it fallen off by itself, the deal you would make out of the Braita before is that that would be mutar. If that's true by a Bechor, where you have reason to keep it around, then certainly it should be true by an Olah, where you have at least some reason not to keep it around. But it says, no. Who adin afilu nitlash nami asur? That's what we kept saying before. Tosfot and Rashi point out, Tolesh means Tolesh or nitlash, because here the Gemara blurs between them. It says it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you pulled it off the Bechor, it fell off the Bechor, it's a sore. Behind it, tiny Tolesh. So then why did it write Tolesh? Odiacha kocho d'akavya. To show you the power of akavya. The bebal mom, da'afilu b'tolesh namishori. By a bebal mom, even if you're intentionally pulling it off, he says that the shkita, or the mita, depending on which opinion, will be matir that for you, retroactively. Va'anan nashar t'nan. In our Mishnah, it says v'nashar. And that's true in the Tanakama statement in the Braita. But if you move on to Rabbi Uda and Rabbi Yossi, they say nashar, that it fell off by itself. So how do we reconcile between the Tolesh and the nashar? Where it says, Tana nashar, lo'diacha kochon derabonon, to show you the power of the Rabbonon. That even in the case of Nitlash, where it fell off by itself, or nashar, it fell off by itself, the Chachamim still say it's asur. So Tana Tolesh, lo'diacha kochon derakavyo. So the Braita used both Lashonot. Is Lashon of Tolesh to show you that Akav is Matir even in the face of Tolesh. And it brought the Lashon of Nitlash or Nashar to show you that even in the face of it happened passively, the Chachamim are Gozer and say that it is a Sur. So that's why the Braita is switched between those Lashonot, but not to say there's any significance in those Lashonot. And that means anything that comes off a Tam is a Sur, and it still will have an open question by an Olah. You would most likely extrapolate to an Olah. The only thing is Olah has an additional factor that's not true by Bechor Tam, which is that a Olah has the incentive of the Kapara aspect to it. And that's what we're still querying about. We don't know the answer as to what will be the status of the Olah with regards to this. Now the Gemara goes back to that last part of the Mishnah that said Semer HaMedudal. You have wool that detached that's still caught up in the wool of the animal that is attached to it. And over there we said that if it's Nira Imagiza, then it's Mutar. If it's Enu Nira Imagiza, then it's Asur. And we explained that it's according to Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hey Chidomi, what is the situation of Enu Nira Imagiza? What does it mean that it's no longer visible with the Giza? Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Shlokish, Kol Sheikaro HaFuch, Kol Plape Rosho. That's anywhere where the roots are by the ends of the hair. Rashi interprets it that both the roots and the ends of the hair are facing outward. So it's like folded in half, and both ends are facing outward. That's already Enu Nireh Imagiza, because that's already obvious that it's not attached, because both ends are facing outward. The Rabbeinu Gershom over here reads it more simply, like what it seems to say in the Gemara here, is where it's upside down. It's where the ends of the hair are inside, and the roots of the hair are facing outwards. So since the roots are already facing outwards, it's obvious that it's not part of the hair that's there. Natan Barushai Amar, Kol She'enu Mit Amech Imagiza. Anything that when you press it down or you run your hand along it, it's not on the same plane as the wool that's there, that's Enu Nireh. So if it's outside the plane of the wool that's on the animal, that's problematic. Reish Lakish might time alo Amar Kerav Natan Barushai. So why does it Reish Lakish think that Rabbi Natan Baruch Shai's definition is the proper definition? Amar Rabbi Eloh, Kosovar Reish Lakish, the fish yefshar the giza below nimim. It's impossible not to have an animal in its natural state where there aren't hairs or there isn't wool that separates away and that is hanging a little bit outside the plane of the animal. That happens naturally, irrespective of Niklash. It's a part and parcel of the animal that all of its wool is not on the same plane. There are things sticking out here, things sticking out there. There's little hairs that detach away. All of that's always the case. And therefore, Efshar L'Gizel Lo Mininim Adubudil Delet. Because then you'll never have anything that's mutar. Because you always have this manifest in animals. And therefore, all animals are going to have this problem. You'll never have a case of heter. Or in essence, what Reish Lakish is saying is that Rabbi Natan Bo Shai's definition is so chamor that I can't subscribe to it. And that's what Rashi says. The reason the Gemara didn't ask, why doesn't Rabbi Natan accept Reish Lakish's opinion, is because Rabbi Natan's Tzvei Machmir is so Machmir, that's why the Gemara doesn't ask, why doesn't he hold like Reish Lakish? It's obviously he doesn't hold like Reish Lakish. He thinks that such a Machmir Shita is nowhere near Reish Lakish. But if you look in the Yeshida Mekubetz, and he brings an additional girsa that actually has that in it, which is, because all the things that Reish Lakish are talking about are all on the plane of the Gizah. So therefore, he doesn't have any question that Reish Lakish's din is not the right explanation, because according to him, that's all Nireh Magizah, because it's all on the plane of the Gizah that's attached to the animal. And that way, it makes sense what he says, and therefore he doesn't have to give a reason why he holds like he does versus that of Reish Lakish. Okay, with that, we end the third perek. Now we begin the fourth perek. Ad kama Yisrael chayavim litapel bebechor. How long does a Yisrael have to keep the bechor in order then to give it to the Kohen? Now, how long is he responsible for it? Rashi says, bizmanazeh, today, meaning not like in the time of the Mikdash, kodem shinena the Kohen, shimuzalak vo etzlo bal korcho lefarneso. He has to keep it by him in order to sustain it. And the Gemara will explain why, because of the pasuk. And that's how most Rishonim read it over here. The reason that you have to keep it with you is because the pasuk's going to tell us that there's a minimum amount of time that Israel needs to hold on to it. The Rambam, on the other hand, says the reason is because you have to give the Kohen something that's lamashcha bahem. It's a phrase that we quote many times from Bamidbar with regards to Matnot Kuna. Lamashcha is that's meaning like lemelucha ligdula, that they have to eat it in that fashion. So we have to eat it in the way that they like. And if they don't have a preference, you do it roasted with mustard, which is the best way to eat it. And so too, when Israel gives something to the Kohen, he's got to give him something that's the best or in good shape. Meaning derech gedula, the way that you would give a gift to a king or something of significance, or gedula, meaning that something that you already have raised properly so that it is a proper gift to the Kohen. And that's why you have to hold on to it over here, because when you give it to the Kohen, it has to be the gedula. You can't just hand him a little animal. You have to hand him a full-fledged animal. You have to hand him an animal that's ready to go and in a fine state. And that's why you have to hold on to it. Now, the Mishnah says, according to the Tanna Kamma, bedaka shloshim yom. When you're dealing with the behemah taka, you have to hold on to it for 30 days and take care of it. Ubigasa, the larger animals, kamishim yom, 50 days. Rabbi Yossi Omer, bidaka shlosha chodoshim. You have to wait 3 months. That's a long time, much longer time. The Gemara will give somewhat of a reason to the 3 months of Rabbi Yossi. The question is, by behemah gasa, what does Rabbi Yossi say? Over here, Rabbi Yossi gives no opinion. Does that mean he defers to the chachamim? It says that Gatha is 50 days. It's only the Behemah Daka that is 3 months. Or does he think that the 3 months applies to all animals? Or does he have some requisite amount by the Behemah Kasa? It's not clear here. Amarlo HaKohen Betoch Hazman. The Kohen says, while you're still in that period of time where the Yisrael is supposed to take care of it, daily, give it to me early. Harizel lo yitnen ulo. You're not allowed to give it to him. V'im ba'mumu. If it already has a mum in it, v'amarlot neuli shoklenu, give it to me because I'm going to shecht it and eat it right away, mutar. That is allowed. So the Gemara is going to show in a second why you're not allowed to give it early is because if you give it early, the Kohen is basically saying, I'll take care of it for the requisite time that you should have taken care of it, and that way I'll get the bechor. Or in essence, what he's doing is he's paying the Israel to get the Bechor, which is problematic, because he's taking over that responsibility in order to get it. According to the Rambam, it's going to be because that's not derech gedula. So therefore, you're violating the instruction of the Torah, l'mashcha. If it already has a mum in it, and if it has a mum in it, you can shecht it, and then you can eat it right away, then giving it to him is not a problem, because he's not saving the Yisrael anything, because he's going to shecht it and eat it right away. The Yisrael won't have to keep it, and neither is the Kohen. The Kohen's not paying anything, he's not feeding it anything, he's just shechting and eating it right away. It was tamim and it had no mum in it. Similarly, if he says, give it to me and I'll take it up to the Mizbeach, I mean, makriv it mutar, then it's mutar, because again, he's not taking over your responsibility to sustain it. He's doing with it what needs to be done right away. Whether it goes on the Mizbeach, whether it's shechted, either of those are fair things for the Kohen to do, because once you give it to him, it belongs to him. What he can't do is take over your responsibility or monetary obligation to feed it, because then it's like he's paying you for it. A bechor nechal shana bishana. Bechor has to be eaten in its given year. Ben tam, ben balmum. That's whether it's a tam or a balmum. Shneamar, yifnei Hashem lokecha tochlenu shana bishana. That you have to eat it before Hashem, year to year. The implications from the pasuk seem to be that it's talking about a bechor tam, which means midoraita, a bechor tam needs to be eaten in the year that it is born. That means that the bechor balmum is only a din derabonan that is extended from this, because we don't want you to come to problems of takalav, gizana boda. So therefore the chamim imposed the same limitation of a shana. Or because of zeichan amigdash, that we want you to treat the mum like the tam today. Although it seems from the Rambam that he thinks that whether a tam or a balmum, it's midoraita, it has to be eaten within that year. Although there are those that want to indicate from the Rambam, but they say that it's limited to the time when the Beit HaMikdash is Kayam. So over there he would think that both of them are midoraita. Today, where there is no chance for the tam to get on Mizbeach, then that of the balmum would not be governed midoraita by the shana, only midorabanan. Nolo lo mum betok shnato. If he gets a mum within its first year, v'shar l'kaymo ko shnei masar chodesh. You have the right to keep it all 12 months. Achar shnato, after its year has expired, you can only keep it around for 30 days. You have a 30-day window, and you got to take care of it within that 30-day window. So the Rebbeinu Gershom says here that the 12 months that you're allowed to keep it is a reference to the Baalim, that if he doesn't find a Kohen to give it to, he's got to keep it around for 12 months to see if he can get it for a Kohen. After the 12 months elapse, then he has a right to shecht it and to salt the meat until he can find a Kohen. But until that point in time, he's got to keep it around. Although others say that the word Rashai over here does not mean that he must keep it around. Rather, Rashai means he has the right to keep it around for 12 months. You could shecht it beforehand. But after 12 months, he's obligated to shecht it and then to bury it because there's no Kohen to give it to. And that's the view of the Tosafot to read. Although the Tosafot later on in the Gemara that discusses it, he seems to indicate that we're referencing to the Kohen himself, that he has a right to keep it around. Once it has a mum in it, he doesn't have to eat it immediately, he has until it's elapsed of 12 months, and then after that he must already shecht, then he can't keep it around any longer. Mar says, Minahani Mile, how do you know that the Yisrael is responsible for the animal for 30 and 50 days? Amar Kra V'kana Amar Kra. So they quote a pasuk, the way they quote the pasuk is totally out of context and out of order, from Pashat Mishpatim, which says, Mleyatcha, Vidimacha lo ta'acher. Bechor banecha, titein li. Kein tase l'shorcha l'tzonecha. Shivat yamim, yeim imo, b'yom ha-shmini, titno li. That's the pasuk. And what the Gemara does is parses the pasuk in the following manner. Bechor banecha, titein li. That you have to give your firstborn child to me. Bechor, pidyon bechor is done on the 30th day. Kein tase l'tzonecha. So too you should do for your tzon. Which means that the tzon, Yisrael has to keep it for 30 days. That is for 50 days. Rashi claims that is because the dimacha is a reference to bikurim. And just like the bikurim wait around for 50 days, because the seorah reaches full maturation and the cycle of the calendar by Pesach time. That's where we bring the omer from. Nevertheless, the bikurim only come to the mikdash after Shavuot. And the difference between Shavuot and Pesach is 50 days. So that is the period of time of Dimacha. Kein taseh l'shorcha. So do you do the shorcha. That is that you'll have 50-day window. Tosafot already questions Rashi's explanation of Dimacha being for Bikurim, because Bechor Banecha titen li means after the 30th day. You do Pinyan Bechor on the 31st day. Over here by Dimacha, it's on the 50th day that you bring the Bikurim, or you bring the Mincha Chadasha. So the Tosafot says there is somewhat of a discrepancy between their timing, although the Shita Mekubetzet says, Ritzomu Lomar, Bikurei the Yachid. It's talking about the Bikurim of a Yachid. By Bikurim of a Yachid, they can't bring it on Shavuot, because it's the Korban Yachid and it's Yom Tov. So they only can bring Bikurim the day after Shavuot, and that will also be the 51st day, like the 31st day. not the bikurim of the tzibur, which is the shtei alechem. That's not what it's referencing to, and in that way, the shita mikubetzet resolves that issue. So Rashi claims that the source for this is the b'chor ben echa, which is pinyon b'chor, is 30 days, and dimachaz bikurim, which is 50 days. Others, like the Rambam, say that it's learned from lote acher. Lote acher is a restriction in the Torah to delay fulfilling your nidarim or bringing your korbanot. And it's usually measured by the regalim. It's a minimum time between a regal to regal that you could have for lote acher is 50 days. The shortest window is between Pesach and Shavuot, and that's how he learns the 50 days is from Lo Te'acher. Ipochano, it should be just the opposite. Mistavya, the Mikdam, the Mikdam, the one that's earlier should be for the one that's earlier. The Me'acher, the Me'acher. The one that's later is later. If you look in the Pasuk, it says, M'layatcha timacha Lo Te'acher, kein ta'aseh l'shorcha. That's what you should do for your shore. B'chor banecha tidenli, kein ta'aseh l'tzonecha. So the earlier one in the Pasuk matches up with the earlier one in the second Pasuk. The later one in the first Pasuk matches up with the later one in the second Pasuk. So that's the Gemara at first says, why don't you say the opposite? So the Gemara answers, it's the logic dictates that the earlier one in the first Pasuk, which is Dimacha, or Lo Te'acher, matches with Shorcha, which is the earlier one in the second Pasuk. And the Ma'acher, the Ma'acher, the Bechor Benecha Tidenli, which is the latter part of the first Pasuk, will match up with the latter item in the second Pasuk, which is Tzonecha. But it says, Adarabah. The Samichle to the Samichle. Why don't you put the items together that are juxtaposed? And the first pasuk ends, B'chor Banecha Titenli. The next pasuk begins, Kein Tase L'Shorcha. So maybe you should connect between Pinyon B'chor and Shor. And then that would mean that the Dimacha Lo Te'acher is matched up with Sonecha. And then you would get the exact opposite outcome. So that can't be the reasoning. Elo Amar Rova, Amar Kra Tase. The pasuk says, Tase. Vasif Lecha Katub Asiyah Cheret B'Shorcha. So therefore, it added on an additional asiyah by your shor. Because it says, that's the governing principle. 30 days. Shorcha gets an additional asiyah above those 30 days. So necha is just like b'chor b'necha. But the asiyah that is juxtaposed to the shor means that the shor gets additional days over here. So Gemara says, if you're going to do another asiyah, then name a shitin. Then say 60 days, double the 30. If it gets an extra asiyah, the base is 30, then they add on, should be another 30, it should be 60 days. Where'd you get the 50 days from? Mar says, no, masarcha katuv elo lechachamim. The chachatuv gave it over to the chachamim. Meaning that the pasuk says taseh, but doesn't define what the taseh is. So it must be that the Torah handed that capacity to the chachamim. Which is as Rashi says, ho velo gilacha shir asiyah. The Torah never defines for you what a shir asiyah is. She throws up that you'll add on. But da'la chachamim misarcha definitely gave it over to the chachamim. She yifreshu l'chatam. They'll then explain to you the reason. Bachareim telich. And for the following them, you should deal with it. So now, the problem is, what is the reason then? Rashi says, oh, the chachamim were granted the right to tell you what it is. And therefore, they will explain to you the reason you need 50 days. And not 30 days. 30 days, we understand. That's the baseline. That's b'chor b'necha titenli. Where did the Chachamim come up with 50 days? It's not seemingly mentioned in the Gemara or in Rashi. If you look in the Shitu Mikubetzet, he has a slightly different girsa in Ot Chet, where it says, Upatar chamishin yomim, tulo tzarech li'imei. 50 days is the threshold, because that's the point where the animal no longer is dependent on its mother. And we're going to see that's a big factor in the upcoming Gemara, and therefore that's the reasoning behind the 50 days. Which is, that's the crossover, the threshold beyond which the animal does no longer needs its mother. And that's why 50 days was picked by the Chachamim as the amount of time for Beim Agasa. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a brayta that's supportive of this. B'chor b'necha titen li, kein taseh l'tzonecha, yachol af l'shorcha. So that's what you do for your tzon, 30 days. I think by shor too. Tamalomer taseh, asif l'cha katuv, asiyah acheret b'shorcha. It gave over an extra asiyah by the shor, and lo masra katuv, elo l'chachamim. And that right was granted to the Chachamim to determine. It's a similar phraseology that's used in the Gemara Chagiga for Chol HaMoed. What's mutar and what's asur on Chol HaMoed? The Gemara says there that the Torah gave that right to the Chachamim to determine which melachot are surot and which melachot are mutarot on Chol HaMoed. Mikan Amru, Ad Kam Yisrael Chayavim Litapel BeBechor. How long does a Yisrael have to take care of the Bechor? BeBeim Adaka, Shloshim Yom, 30 days. BeGatsa, Chamishim Yom. And by a larger animal for 50 days. Rabbi Yossi omer bedaka shlosha chodoshim. In the smaller animals, you have to keep it for 3 months. It takes a lot of care. It's a lot of expenditure and care. Tano, we also have a brayta that says, because its teeth are very thin or small. And as Rashi explains over here, it still doesn't have the capacity to graze. You don't keep it together with its mother, it's going to die. It needs to nurse. So you see from here that the key element of going to Rabbi Yossi is the capacity of the animal to be independent from its mother. And he claims by the smaller animals, the female takot, it needs 3 months with its animal before it becomes independent, and therefore you can't give it to the kohen. Because if you give it to the kohen, he's going to have a lot of trouble taking care of it if you give it to him before 3 months, because the mother belongs to the Yisrael, is with the Yisrael. And therefore, the Yisrael has to take care of it through that threshold period. That goes back to what we said in the Shita Mekubetzet, that the 50 days of the Gasa seems to be connected to the independence from the mother. Shita Mekubetzet, or the Gemara got that from this statement over here, which is that the Bema Dakah's independence is important. So too by the Gasa. That's what the Shita Mekubetzet said in his Girsa, that the 50 days is when it goes independent from its mother. If that's true, then Rabbi Yossi might agree by Gasa that it's 50 days, just like he says it's 3 months by Etaka, because that's the point of independence. And the Shita Mekubetzet actually brings a Girsa that says that the Asiyar, the Taseh, is not only on the shore, but also on the Tzon. He says, Amalachah v'chein Taseh atarvayuktim, v'lo mashkar katu v'lo chachamim, v'eim ha-gasa v'chamishim v'tulo, tzarech li'imei, v'eim ha-daka atzlata, tzarech li'imei. So that would be then consistent with this idea that it has to do with when is it independent from its mother, and therefore by the Tzon it would be 3 months, and by the shore it would be 50 days. Then in that way we would know what Rav Yossi says with regards to the Behema Gasa as well. The Gemara says, Im amar lo kohen betoch hazman tneu li, the kohen tells him within that period of time, give it to me, harizeh lo yitein lo, you can't give it to him. My time, what's the reason? Amar Rav Sheshet, mipnei shenireh kekohen ha-meseyer bebeit ha-granot. It looks like he's helping out in the threshing floor. Tan Rabbanan, and we have a brayta about this. A kohenim, valivim, vaniim. If you have a kohen, a levi, or a poor person, that is misayim bebeit ha-roim. They're helping out with the shepherds. Ubebeit ha-granot, or in the threshing floors. Ubebeit ha-midbachayim, or by the butcher shop. Einotim lahem. You don't give to them. Chuma maser bischaram. Chuma maser for their reward. Now, as Rashi points out over here, you have to differentiate. The only thing that's relevant to all three parties here is the Beit HaGranot, the threshing floor. Because in the threshing floor, the Kohen gets Truma, the Levi gets Maaser Rishon, and the Ani gets Maaser Ani. So they are all relevant in the threshing floor. With regards to the Beit HaRoeh, or the Beit HaBechayim, that's only relevant by the Kohen. Because the Kohen gets a Bechor, which would be what happens in the Beit HaRoeh, and the Kohen gets the Matanot, which are the Zroah, the Chayayim, and the Keba, which is in Beit Mikvachayim. So that's only referencing to the Kohen. So none of them can work there and then get the Matanot, because it looks like he is paying for the right to get those Matanot. And that's a problem. If you do that, you profane them. And on them the Pasuk says, Shichatem Brit Alevi, that you have ruined, destroyed, spoiled that unique covenant that I have with Shevet Levi. And seemingly, it's a reference to the Baalim that are being mechalel it by using it as sechar. And that you can see in the Rabbeinu Gershom over here. Although, the Rambam says that the reference is to the Kohanim, because they were mechalel Hashem when they took the Truma in this fashion, or they took the Matnot in this fashion. And that's what the Pasuk says, Shichatem Brit Levi, that you profaned, you destroyed, you ruined that covenant. That they're entitled to this because they are the Obdei Hashem. They don't have any nachala. Hashem is nachalatam. And therefore they're entitled to this, to be given it, not for their wages, but for their fact that they are the Obdei Hashem and they have no nachala. Vomer, and it also says that Kodshei Bnei Yisrael lo techalalu v'lo tamutu. You should not profane the Kodoshim of Bnei Yisrael v'lo tamutu, then you won't die. My Vomer. So what's Vomer teach you? V'chitema mita lo. You would think that maybe you're not subject to a death penalty for this. Tashma, but Kodeshim Bnei Yisrael lo techalalu v'lo tamutu. Don't profane the Kodoshim of Bnei Yisrael, and you won't die. But if you do profane them, you will die. Now, Tosfot says it's lav dafka. doesn't literally mean you're going to get real mita, even mita de shamayim. It's just telling you that there's a severity to this being mechalel de kodoshim. Ubikshu chachamim the konsan, and the chachamim wanted to find them, liot mafishim aleim truma mishalehem. So the chachamim wanted to be put in a knas in this instance in order to force them to take off truma or whatever it was again because of their failure to do it properly because they gave it to the kohen, the levi, or the ani in his first schar. So they wanted to force them to give it again. According to Rashi, the konsan was the balei batim. They wanted to find the owners because they were being mechalel by paying off the kohen, the levi, and the ani in that manner. So they wanted to penalize them. Whereas according to the Rambam's view, you could see that the knas might have been a knas on the kohanim and not a knas on the baalim. Because the kohanim were being the mechalel, the kodshi Hashem, by accepting it or by working in order to get it. And therefore they wanted to be koneis the kohanim. So it says they wanted to do it, but they didn't do it. Why didn't they find them? Because we're afraid then that you're going to be mafrish from that which is chayav, which was the stuff that you gave originally, and that which is patur, which is a kenas. And you're not going to know one is really patur midoraita, one is really chayav midoraita. Even though, as the Balei Tosafot will point out, we have many times that you have dinei derabbanan in shumot and masrot, nevertheless, we don't say, oh, he's going to mix it up with the patur and the chiyuv. Nevertheless, we allow it to happen. So Tosafot says, yesh lechalek. You have to differentiate between cases, because sometimes the chachamim are worried about this, and sometimes the chachamim are not worried about this. Depends on the situation, the circumstance, and the context, whether the person will understand that it's really patur or it's really chayav. All right, we're going to stop here on the last line of Chavav Amud Bet.